Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here and great to see so many people packed in to hear. We're so thankful for what God's done over the summer, being in Labour East and everybody being together. But let me just say just now, I believe that the best is yet to come. God is doing so much more than we can think, ask, or imagine. And just before we go into today, if you want some notes for what I'm going to say today, you can go onto the YouVersion app. If you just go to the menu and then hit events, you'll see Found Church in there. You can pick up notes from there. Why don't we pray before I start? Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, as I've said, for all that you're doing and all that you've done. But Lord, we are believing that the best is yet to come. As I speak this morning, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you just go before me and let these words be yours. Let the people here just hear from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a journey. It's been a season of transition for myself and for Eleanor and for the church, obviously, with Michael and Diane coming to the stage there as well. And this week, I said to Eleanor, I just realised there was just a moment. Obviously, schools went back over the last week or two, but there was a moment that I had that I thought, I'm not going back to school. Like, teachers get so long off that you could be off for a couple of months and you've still got to go back and pick up where you left off and you just keep going. But that realisation that that has happened now, I'm not going back to school, I'm here, this is life, this is what God has for me, and it's really exciting. But I was thinking about school, and in school you do the same thing day in, day out, and the same thing over and over and over again. And one of these things was to speak to young people and ask them questions. And one of the questions I asked almost on a daily basis was, what do you want to do when you leave school? What do you want to do when you're bigger? Remember getting asked that when we were younger. And there was ones that could say, I want to do this, I want to study this subject, I want to go and work for these companies, that's what I want to do. They absolutely had a plan. And then you could ask others, what do you want to do when you leave school? Don't know. Haven't really thought about it. And that used to get me because you've done 7 years at primary, possibly 4 years at high school, and you've never even thought about it. But the answers that I loved to get were the ones that said, I want to be a professional footballer. Do you play with a team? No. Okay. I want to be a film star. I want to go to Hollywood and I want to do that. I want to be a pilot. I want to be an astronaut. The dreamers. The ones that have a plan. But then there's another group. And this was more recently, the last few years. I want to be a YouTuber. What? A YouTuber. And then there was another group that says, I want to be Insta famous. I want to be an influencer. And I'm sitting thinking, that is great, that's amazing, there's something there, we can work with it. How many people do you have following you just now? 17. You see, as far as an influencer being a job, I'm not convinced. But the concept of being an influencer, doing something or saying something that will cause people to take action or to live in a particular way, now that's worth exploring. In fact, that makes me want to ask more questions of you this morning. What influences your life? What voices do you listen to? What is the voice of authority in your life? So we're currently in a series called What Can the Bible Do For You? And as Stephen introduced last week, he said, we'll explore the Bible with fresh eyes, we'll engage with its timeless truths and apply its wisdom to our daily lives. Stephen was encouraging us to read, engage, trust and apply what we read in Scripture. And today I want to explore the thought that the Bible can speak to you. So you don't have to look far these days to see that the world is in a bit of a mess. The finances in this country, or the recession, just the financial difficulty across the world, the political chaos that we see both here and abroad on a daily basis, countries at war with each other, countries at war within themselves. We read sickening news stories and news reports that strike fear into the lives of those reading or listening to the news. So I want to ask you this morning, where do you turn to make sense of it all? I want to demonstrate that in times that we don't know who to believe or where to turn, the Bible can help us. If you read the Bible, it can speak to you. It can speak to your situation, and it can speak to the world around you. And just three things I want to pick up on this morning. I want to talk on how the Bible speaks life, how it speaks wisdom, and finally we'll look at affirmation. So thinking about the Bible speaking life then, one of the most significant verses in the Bible that speaks not just about life but eternal life is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this is known to be one of the most, or the most famous scriptures in the Bible. And according to World Vision, John 3:16 is the most popular Bible verse across the world. It is searched over 2 million times per month. And when asked why they thought this was popular, they said this. John 3:16 is a short and clear summary of Christianity's central tenets, highlighting God's love for people, Jesus as the Father's Son, and the connection between becoming a Christian and everlasting life. And they finished by saying, that's a lot to cover in a mere 26 words. See, this verse speaks of God's love. It speaks about Jesus being the Son of God. And it speaks about believing in Jesus and the eternal life you receive when you put your faith and your trust in him. And I want you to start with this verse today because I believe that this verse, more than any other, deals with life all in one go. This short verse speaks life into any situation. Think about it. When you worry, there is a deep-seated fear that something might happen to you or something, or to someone else that's connected to you. Your mind races. What if this happens? What if that happens? But ultimately, the biggest fear that we can have around life is death. One of the most challenging scriptures to say out loud and to fully believe with everything that's within you when talking about life is this. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, Paul wrote these amazing words to the Philippian church while in prison. And it's a reminder for us that life is transitory, it's temporal, but heaven is forever. Heaven is eternal. And when our lives belong to Jesus, we can be victorious in both life and in death. So John 3:16 speaks life and should challenge and encourage anyone who reads it. But we need to ask the question, what should this life look like? One verse that puts this into perspective in Scripture is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus is saying that he came so that his followers would experience an abundant life. Jesus knew that life was not found in our pleasure or our performance. It's not in the things that we have or the things that we do. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says over and over that he is the author and the giver of life. John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we have this emphatic statement from Jesus in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. See, when Jesus says the I in this statement, he means that life is found in no other than him. The only way to enter
life is through Jesus himself. If we read the verses prior to John 10:10, there's mention of the shepherd and his sheep. To help us understand how this life is entered, we must understand the special relationship that exists between the shepherd and his sheep. In John 10:7, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." See, when Jesus says he's the door of the sheep, he means that the fold has one entrance. There is one source of life, and spiritual sustenance is obtained just one way. There is only one entrance to heaven. The sole access point to all that is life is Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus is to understand who he is and what he represents. It's to experience an abundance of life. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, that should bring a new vitality to life. It should give us fresh meaning. It should give us a renewed energy, clear purpose, and a deeper significance. As followers of Jesus, we should have a broader outlook, a steadfast hope, a lasting joy. Our lives could be, or should be, completely transformed. That's what it should look like to follow Jesus. A number of years ago, I was at a conference down south, and we had to fly back from Luton Airport. And it's not the biggest of airports, and it didn't seem that there was that many people there. But there was this group of, like, really loud, I don't want to use this word, Stephen used it earlier, I think he used it tonight. They looked really cool. They tell you in high school, you don't say cool anymore if you're old, because that makes you look even more old. But they looked cool, they were happy, they were laughing, they were joking. They absolutely looked like they were loving life. There was just something about them. They were all dressed a particular way. They had crazy hair. They were loud. They were just happy people. And on the other side, there was a group of Christian guys. Quite quiet, a bit reserved, maybe even just a wee bit boring looking. And I can guarantee you there was nobody in that group looking at us and saying, "We want to be like them." I don't think so anyway. And I'm not saying that following Jesus has to be all loud and rah-rah and just being outspoken, but we can be happy. Following Jesus, we are allowed to smile. Life with Jesus should be an adventure. We should approach life with a new vigor, and our life should be full of vitality, fresh meaning, a steadfast hope, and a lasting joy. That's what life should be like when you follow Jesus. See, the Bible speaks life, and it speaks of a life characterized by faith in Jesus. That same conference I was at, I met a worship leader, and he had a song that was called Undone. And there was a line in that song that says, "I'm not my own, I am yours." And that sentiment is echoed in Galatians 2:20. That's Paul speaking about the old self dying and the life that he now lives characterized by his faith in Jesus. Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified by Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." See, if you're ever struggling to deal with your old life versus the new life you have in Christ, we're talking about reading the Bible. You can read these scriptures, and this verse can help affirm that the old life has gone, crucified with Christ, and the life you now lead is empowered by Christ in you. No more striving, just trusting Jesus. Second thing I want to look at this morning is that the Bible speaks words of wisdom. It teaches us about wisdom and how to apply it. So a widely accepted dictionary definition of wisdom would be this: the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. John Piper defines wisdom in the Bible as knowing the greatest goal in any situation and the best way to achieve that goal. The Bible was very clear on the importance of finding wisdom and paying attention to it. Proverbs 3:13 to 18 says this: "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. And the good thing about what Scripture says about wisdom is this. If you feel like you don't have wisdom, you can ask God for it. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And the reason that we should ask for wisdom from heaven is this. James 3:17 says, wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Now you might be saying, well, why is that so important? It's important because much of the difficulties that we find ourselves having to deal with in our own lives are more often than not, we can trace back to poor decisions that we've made or just a bad choice that leads to unnecessary struggles and suffering. I mean, if I was to say, put up your hand if you have made bad decisions in the past and you've suffered because of your choices that you've made in the past, well, let's just ask that question. If you have found yourself having to deal with something now because of a choice that you made back then just put up your hand. And all the people that are telling them, I think I can rest my case. We do that. We find ourselves in circumstances that could have been avoided if we had just even just said to God, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing this? Speak to me, Lord. Give me wisdom. Help me to see what you see in this situation and then make a decision based on that. If we're making decisions and hoping for the best, we don't have to live like that. We don't have to do things and just hope that it will all work out. We can go to God beforehand and we can listen to what he says and we can act upon what he says. And then, as Dan was speaking about a minute ago, we can just be at rest. We can be at peace because God will speak and lead us to where he wants us to be. See, the Bible tells us that God will guide us to make the right decisions and choices in our life. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. It tells us to trust God. Eleanor read it earlier on, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. See, with godly wisdom, you can make wise decisions. And we get example after example in Scripture of people that make good choices. But we can also read Scripture and see how we should live our life. Matthew 7:24-27 talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And there's wisdom in that. But in that passage it says, therefore if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice... That's a wise move. If we hear what God says and we put it into practice. But doing that's like building your life on a solid foundation. When the storms come, you will not be shaken because your life is built on the rock. Other things we deal with in life when looking at money. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything except to love one another. In Proverbs, it talks about being in debt, and it says the borrower is a slave to the lender. Even reading about tithing in Micah 3:10, it tells us what the expected outcome is if we do that. It says, test me in this, see, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. See, all this is in the Bible. We're encouraging you through this series to get into the Bible, to read the Bible, because it will do certain things in your life if you do. I'm talking about it speaking into these situations. We think about relationships. The Bible demonstrates what making good choices in the way that you treat other people would look like. says we should act with Christ-like love, to treat others how you want to be treated, to put others first. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. So in wisdom, the Bible is very clear. If you lack it, you can ask God and he'll give you it. And the wisdom that you gain will enable you to make good decisions and appropriate choices in your life. It can help avoid creating difficulties and hardship. See, God wants to be involved in our daily life. God wants us to have communication with him. He wants us to speak to him. And we could say, well, he knows what's going on in my life anyway. He still wants to hear it from you. He wants to be in on the conversation with you. If you're struggling to make a decision about something, ask God. Ask him. A number of years ago, I was studying at ICC. Everything seemed to be going on. We had moved house. I had essays due. We had young children. It was just, everything was happening. I was also involved with the Billy Graham Association, and they were doing a Easter outreach, I believe, in Belfast. And I was signed up to go to Belfast. So I had essays due the beginning of the week. The Belfast thing was happening from the Friday through to the Monday. We were trying to go on a break with family. And I was freaking out because I'm like, I really want to go to Belfast. I've been involved with this organization. I want to go and see what it's like and do the stuff and be involved in that. That's what I really wanted to do. We really wanted to go away as a family and spend some time away. College really wanted me to hand that essay in on time and get my work done. And I asked God, what do I do? Because I'm going to make the wrong decision here. And it was almost like he said, give up the thing that you want to do most. And it wasn't the essay. I made the decision not to go to Ireland. Not to be part of that mission. Not to do the thing that I really wanted to do. And you know what? That was a great decision. I had time and space to write the essay. I submitted that. We booked something. We went away for a few days. Spent time with family. And you know what? There was just a peace about it. There is always going to be opportunities to preach the gospel and share Jesus with people. And I just took what seemed like a simple thing. But I was struggling with that. And I spoke to God and I asked God. And the decision that I made was a good choice. It was a wise choice. But it was guided by him. So, hear what I'm saying there. You can go and speak to God about anything. Just go, talk to him, ask him, and then listen. And when he speaks, act and respond to it. The final thing this morning then is that the Bible speaks words of affirmation. And I want to get this towards knowing who we are in Christ. See, the practice of speaking daily positive affirmations is one that many people subscribe to. If you've seen the film Evan Almighty, you might see the main character, Evan Baxter. He would stand in front of the mirror and he would say, I am successful, I am powerful, I am handsome, I am happy. I'm successful, powerful, handsome and happy. The Bible doesn't call us to stand in front of the mirror and shout positive things in the mirror. The Bible encourages us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And there's things in Scripture that we can say, that we can repeat, that we can hear for ourselves that should make a huge difference in our lives. And if we do that, if we can do that regularly, even on a daily basis, we get a sense of belonging. We get a sense of our security. We know our identity and we sense the value that we have in him. So I want to finish this morning by reading a list of positive affirmations from Scripture. For anyone who's in Christ, we should be saying this. We should understand this. This should be the reality for us in our lives. And this list was from Craig Rochelle in Life Church in America. And just listen to this and think, what would happen if that was the reality in my life? All of them are based on verses from Scripture. There's a few, so I'm not going to rhyme off all the references, but you'll get it. You'll see where these are coming from. But allow God to speak to you as I do this. Allow God to stir your heart to believe that your life might change if they become a reality in your situation. There's quite a few, so we need to get ready. I am strong and mighty. I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of me. I am a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. I am not my past. I am not what I did. I am who God says I am. He says I am forgiven. He says I am redeemed. He says I am free. I am not a hostage to unhealthy thoughts. The weapons I fight with are not the weapons of this world. I have divine power to demolish strongholds. I have the mind of Christ directing my thoughts. I have the word of God guiding my steps. I demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. I take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Worry is not my master. I trust in God. His peace guards my heart, guards my mind, and guards my soul in Christ Jesus. My God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I am not a slave to my habits. I am not a prisoner to an addiction. I have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's light. I am empowered. I am chosen. I am called. I am a masterpiece of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for me in advance to do. My God will bless me abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. My God is for me. My God is with me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Nothing can separate me from God's love, not death, not demons, not the present or the past. No power on earth will ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I am not what I have or buy. My identity is in Christ and Christ alone. By God's power, I can change. I cast my cares on God because he cares for me. My life belongs to God. Daily I seek him. Daily he directs my steps. I know his voice. He leads me to his perfect will. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. Because his spirit lives within me, I can do everything he calls me to do. Thought we might have got a wee bit of response for all of that. The band can come up just now, actually, as we finish. But I hope that was an encouragement to you. If you struggle with your identity as a Christian and you need just a reminder of who you are in Christ, then the best way to do this is to read what God says in his word and speak that over yourself. At the beginning, I asked the question, what can the Bible do for you? And I've tried to explore the idea that the Bible can speak to you. See, the Bible speaks life, it speaks wisdom, and it speaks words of affirmation. See, if you want to hear a message from God, then get stuck into reading his word and allow what is written there to speak to you. You might need to read it a few times, you might need to meditate on it, you might even wrestle with the text. But please remember this, the Bible can't speak to you if you don't open it and you don't read it. Reading the Bible will change your life if you read it.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.